Ready? Entertain a motion to come back into regular session for purpose of public hearings.
Yes.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on a motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We're now back in public session for public hearing. Reference change of zone 1770. Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to read the rules of procedure for County Council zoning hearings. When Council holds public hearings on zoning applications, they are legislative hearings because Council uses the information obtained during the hearings to decide whether to adopt an ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map in the manner requested by the applicant. I will announce each application. The director will review with Council the minutes and testimony from the P&Z hearing, and those minutes will be made part of the record along with any exhibits introduced at the P&Z hearing and any recommendation made by the Commission. The applicant will be called on to present and explain their application, present reasons supporting their application. Council may question the applicant and their witnesses. After the applicant has presented their application, Council will provide an opportunity for anyone else who favors the application to speak. After that, any persons who oppose or question the application will be allowed to state the reasons for their opposition or questions. After that, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant, and the hearing will be closed unless Council decides to leave the record open for a specific purpose and time period. Further, the applicant will not be allowed to question persons who speak in opposition, and persons who speak in opposition will not be allowed to question the applicant or their witnesses. If you intend to speak, you are required to come to the front and stand at the speaker stand and state your name, home address before you make a statement. There is also a sign-in sheet for those who wish to speak at the podium that you sign at that time. If you represent or speak for a group or organization, please identify who you represent. When you make your statement, please be concise. Do not repeat yourself. If you have a written statement, hand it to Mr. Lank, and it will be made part of the record. If there is more than one witness for the applicant or more than one person in opposition, please do not repeat points that a prior speaker has already stated. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, please take the time now to turn it off or switch it to silent service. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, Council may either approve it, deny it, or defer it to a later date. If the Planning and Zoning Commission deferred action, Council will do likewise. And as the President stated, our hearing today is Change of Zone 1770, TD Rehoboth, LLC. Mr. Lank.
Yes, thank you. Well, this application is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 114.4821 acres, more or less, for land lying on the northeast side of Route 1 Coastal Highway, across from Route 88 Cave Neck Road. A 911 address was not available. The tax map ID is District 235, Map 23, Parcel 1. For the benefit of the record, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on this application on April 23rd. The Council has before it a report that was provided to them in their packet and contains 11 pages of the minutes of the Commission's meeting on the 23rd of April. In the minutes, just to summarize, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet, which has been a part of the record. It was reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Part of the information that was submitted by the applicant included a soil reconnaissance report and referencing stormwater management, a stormwater report and a stormwater assessment study, an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report, exhibits that were received on April 10, 2015 for the public hearing on April 23rd. Proposed findings of facts were submitted into the record on the 23rd, a conceptual site plan, and then also we just did receive an exhibit booklet that was provided yesterday for the benefit of the Council. It's a paper clipped report. Some of the agency comments that we received were County Engineering, Utility Planning, the Sussex Conservation District, three different correspondents from DelDOT, and also the Office of Planning, State Planning Coordination for the PLUS report, also known as a Preliminary Land Use Service. For the benefit of the record, today, or let me back up to the commission level. At the commission level, we had received six, I believe, letters of support. And in opposition, there were multiple letters, of which during the public hearing, we had 19 speakers of the approximately 225 parties that were present in opposition. At the conclusion of the public hearing, they did ask for a count of those parties present, and it had been reduced after that many hours from 225 to 58 parties still in opposition present. So there was 225 according to the count provided by security. The commission, after the public hearing on April 23rd, did defer action and has yet to make a recommendation on this application. For the benefit of the current, tried to do a count this morning before the regular session in the morning meeting. There were seven letters of support. There were two letters that I would refer to as neutral. It didn't really take a position. It seemed like they may accept something that was a little different, more of a mix of commercial and residential. One was actually complimentary to the way the commission ran their public hearing. In opposition, again, I tried to count. It's very difficult because you're putting petitions against letters and emails and you name it, I had it. It was approximately 1,890. But I have to admit that a lot of those were duplications. I can pull one name out of my hat and say there was at least five correspondents from the same person. And the reason for that is that I received an email, I received the same letter by an original administrative office received the same letter, and we get them by fax sometimes, but I had one individual that wrote at least five times, and it's not that it was the same letter, but it was from the same person, so it's still part of the record. So that number came out as of just a few minutes ago to a total of 1,890. So I would say probably the number of duplications, we probably hit about 1,500. So a lot of duplications. I received yesterday, and there's just one of each. So I will pass these down for the council to review as they progress in their public hearing today. Three booklets in opposition with some information, not necessarily petitions. So the commission's recommendation as of today is that the commission did defer action, so they have yet to make a recommendation, so the council will have to defer action. They can't take any action today without a recommendation from the commission. And as Mr. Moore stated earlier, if you come up to speak, please print your name so we can read it. But everybody's signatures are a little different, and they're really hard to figure out after 4 or 5 hours. That's all I have, unless you have questions.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Lank, the notebooks that you just passed out, were those the same notebooks that were given by the opposition?
No, these came in yesterday. They were provided by some of the opposition.
Okay, thank you.
It's not the ones that were just provided by the attorney on behalf of the opposition.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions from council?
Is that just one set, or is that?
There's two. One spiral bound, there's two ring binders, they're about an inch and a half thick, and there are numbered 1 and 2.
Okay.
So there's one packet.
So it's just one volume, right,
okay,
then.
Yeah, keep that all together so we can all look at it later.
Okay. That's all one thing. There's only one copy of that.
Yeah, just kind of keep it all together.
Are there any questions from council?
Sorry.
If not, Mr. Fuqua.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Deaver, gentlemen. For the record, my name is James Fuquay. I'm an attorney practicing in Delaware with offices in Georgetown and Rehoboth Beach. Before starting my presentation, there are two items that I want to discuss in order to avoid confusion And in order to avoid some wasted time during what is going to be certainly a complicated hearing, the first item, as I will be indicating to you, on the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan 2008 update, the future land use map, the site that we're proposing for this change of zone is located in the hatched area, and that is the environmentally sensitive developing area, which is one of the designated growth areas. This site was added to the growth area along with several other properties as part of the 2008 update. And the zoning ordinance provides that the environmentally sensitive development area is as designated on the comp plan. And this is just a representation of the future land use map under the comp plan. This is our site here. You can see we're part of the hatched area. So the entire 114-acre parcel is in the growth zone. Unfortunately, the zoning map on the county's website has not been updated to include these lands that were added to the environmentally sensitive district that are depicted on the zoning map. So, in fact, it is showing the district as it existed under the 2002 plan. The zoning map on the website has a note indicating that the map should not be used or should be used only as a general representation and is not legally binding. In summary, the zoning map on the county website is incorrect, and our land is in the environmentally sensitive development area, which is a growth zone. I spoke to Mr. Robertson before the planning and zoning hearing about this, and I also spoke to Mr. Moore about this, and it's certainly my impression that they agree with what I'm telling you. So you can't rely on the zoning map on the website. This is in the environmentally sensitive development zone. The second point, and this one is even goofier, DelDOT issued its reply letter to the applicant's traffic impact study on September 9th, 2014. When I received the letter, page 9 of the letter, under the heading Comprehensive Plan, referred to the county's 2007 plan update, and it stated that our site was located in the low-density area and that our proposed use was not consistent with the county's comp plan. As soon as I read that letter, I knew that was incorrect. I emailed Troy Brestel of DelDOT, informing him of the error and advising him that I think DelDOT must have either been looking at the 2002 future land use map or an early draft of the new land use map, particularly since he referred to the 2007 update. And as you know, it's the 2008 update, so I think he had an earlier draft of it, although I don't know for sure where he got that information. He immediately acknowledged the error and corrected page 9 of the DelDOT letter, and the corrected version was issued to all the people on the distribution list. The revised page 9 correctly referred to the 2008 update. It stated that our site was in the environmentally sensitive development area, which is a growth zone, and that our requested zoning was appropriate under the plan and was consistent with the plan. Now, this occurred last September, and I assume that was the end of the issue and it was taken care of. Unfortunately, on Friday, a few days ago, the Cape Gazette published an article that was based on DelDOT's original letter, and basically the Cape Gazette article indicated the original representation that this was not consistent with the plan. And Cape Gazette was not aware of the corrected page 9. I contacted the paper telling them what I just told you. The paper investigated that and immediately posted a retraction and a correction to that article on its website. Unfortunately, since most people who read Friday's Cape Gazette are not going to then read the website, I think there's many people here today who read that article and are under the impression that this is, according to DelDOT, not consistent with the plan, when actually the exact opposite is true. And as if that wasn't enough, yesterday I reviewed the exhibits that were submitted by the opponents, which I think are the white binder books that you were just passing down. And one of the exhibits in that book is the September 9th, 2014 DelDOT letter with the incorrect page 9. So, again, I assume the opponents are relying on the incorrect page 9, understandably, if that's all they read, but that is the incorrect information, and possibly not, they are not aware of DelDOT's retraction and correction of that position. I raise this to try to avoid any confusion in the hearing and to ensure that everyone is dealing with the correct facts. I believe Mr. Lang can verify what I just stated. And just to attempt to avoid any further confusion, since this has happened several times now, I want to submit to you copies of the cover email from DelDOT and the correct page 9 for your reference. So if I could have Mr. Lang pass this down to you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, sir.
Now, ask Mr. Witzel, do you need a copy of that? So with that stated, I will begin our presentation. As I stated for the record, my name is James Fuquay. I am representing the applicant TD Rehoboth LLC. With me today are Lou DiBitanto, which is the managing partner of TD Rehoboth, Steve Gorski with Duffield Associates, Inc., the project manager and engineer, and Wes Guckert of Traffic Group, which is the traffic engineer's consultants. As Mr. Lank had stated, we submitted a number of exhibits and documents for the record. In addition to what he stated, there is also a letter of support of the application from the Sussex County Economic Development Action Committee, CDAC, which I'll be referring to. Also, Mr. Lank mentioned I've submitted a packet of documents, and I'll be referring to that packet during my presentation. The application before you is a request to rezone 114.48 parcel of land located on the northeast side of Route 1 from AR to CR1, the commercial residential zoning designation. For the record, the applicant has already indicated that the purpose of the requested rezoning is for a large-scale commercial use, as that term is defined in Section 115.83.3 of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. And the intention is the construction and operation of a retail shopping center with a building area of approximately 852,000 square feet to be called the Overbrook Town Center. The shopping center is designed as a traditional shopping center with outside entrances to the various stores and not as a mall, which has interior walkways and common areas and interior access to stores. The proposed use would be a traditional retail shopping facility, not an outlet type of facility, and it would include quality department stores, national anchor stores, national brand smaller stores, along with a mix of local retailers, restaurants, and entertainment venues. A conceptual site plan has been submitted for informational purposes only, and I do want to stress that it's just for informational purposes only, so that what we're talking about can be visualized as to the conceptual design and appearance of the center. However, as I'm sure the council knows, the purpose of today's hearing is only to address the requested CR1 zoning change. If our application is approved, the developer will be required to obtain preliminary and final site plan approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission. At the time of the site plan review, all of the details of the plan, such as parking, setbacks, buffers, landscaping, stormwater management, and a host of other facets of the site plan will be reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And that would also include the review of the combined highway corridor overlay zone and any other aspects of the zoning code that apply. So that is all subject to the Planning and Zoning Commission's judgment, and they will have final approval and authority over the site plan. The final site plan also requires approval of all state or county regulatory agencies having jurisdiction over the various aspects of the site plan, and that would include DelDOT's approval of the design of entrances and the reconfigured Route 1 Cave Neck Road intersection and overpass. The shopping center site plan, design and overpass, again, are not items before the County Council today, and as with other rezoning applications, they are addressed after the zoning is approved. Just for references, the conceptual site plan shows stores on the northeast and south of the site. That would be here, here, and here, with pad sites along Route 1. The three main buildings contain approximately 790 square feet of floor area. A majority of the parking for the center is centered between those buildings. The pad sites out front range in size from 1.5 acres to 3 acres. And as I said, they front along the Route 1 section. Construction of the main area would occur in three phases corresponding to the three buildings. Each phase would be comprised of between 250 to 300,000 square feet of floor area. The buildings, the timing of the buildings would be based on demand, and it is anticipated that the construction would be over approximately a six-year period. However, as I already stated, the purpose of today's hearing is not to review the conceptual site plan, nor is the purpose of today's hearing to determine the county's need or lack of need for additional shopping, nor is the purpose of today's hearing to determine what stores may be located in the shopping center, or to analyze the applicant's business plan, or to determine the popularity of the application, or to discuss whether anyone likes shopping or not. The only question before you today is actually quite simple, and that question is, as noted by County Council on numerous other rezoning applications, is this parcel appropriate for the zoning designation being requested? So that is the only question before you. In our case, is it appropriate for CR1 zoning? Now, the applicant, in reliance on the county's ordinances, strongly believes that the parcel is appropriate for CR1 zoning. We are well aware of the many people here today who believe that the parcel is not appropriate. So the key word is ultimately making your decision is appropriate. How do you determine what is appropriate? Now, in the context of a land use decision, appropriate does not mean how do you personally feel or think about the proposed use, whether you think it's good or whether you think the land is suitable for that use. In the land use context, as Chief Justice Strine of the Delaware Supreme Court, when he was serving on the Delaware Court of Chancery, clearly articulated, how a land use decision must be made, it appears in the Gibson v. Sussex County decision. He stated, the law requires that local governments deal with specific land use decisions in a rational, non-arbitrary manner, guided by legislative standards of general application. The council is not free to ignore the overall framework that it has established in the code and comprehensive plan and to deny an unpopular application based on unsupported references to factors that the framework itself already addresses. Now, the overall framework established by the Sussex County Council for land use decisions are the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update and the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. The Gibson decision further stated that while public comment should be considered by the council, ultimately the county council's reasoning must be articulated and must relate to the statutory mandates. And again, as the county council has stated on prior land use matters, your decision must be based on the public record created in connection with the Planning and Zoning Commission hearing and the county council hearing and the record created in connection with those two hearings. So to rephrase the question before the county council today, is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning under the applicable legislative standards? Our presentation will focus on establishing that the answer to that question is clearly and overwhelmingly yes. Our presentation will consist of the following. I'm going to present some background information about the site and the legal basis supporting the change of zone. Steve Gorski will address the site conditions and some engineering issues. Wes Guckert will discuss the traffic impact study and the DelDOT review, and I will make some rebuttal comments and a closing statement. The site itself is located on the northeast. Site is located on the northeast side of Route 1. It's more or less opposite the Route 1 Cave Neck Road intersection. Cave Neck Road is Route 88. It's approximately 1.5 miles north of the Route 1 Nassau Bridge. The site itself is owned by Mr. and Mrs. Fred Chappell and held in the name of Overbrook Acres, LLC. Mr. Chappell was born and raised in Sussex County. His grandfather and father owned a farm south of Route 9, and Mr. Chappell's father purchased this parcel in approximately 1950 to expand the family's farm operations. The land has been owned by the Chappell family for approximately 65 years. They have seen that area change over that time with the development of residential developments and a general mixture of commercial uses along Route 1. They elected to sell the property, and it is currently under contract to my client. The site contains 114.4 acres of land. The vast majority of the site is cleared farmland with approximately 6 acres of upland woodland. The property borders Route 1 on its west side. It has approximately 1,800 feet of road frontage. Route 1 is a major arterial road with separated north and south dual travel lanes. The north, east, and south sides of the property border lands in agricultural use, as you can see on the photograph. The general nature of the area is a combination of farmland, residential development, and a general mixture of commercial and service activities fronting on Route 1. This would be the west side of Route 1, the east side. Starting right here in my reference. On the west side of Route 1, north of Cave Neck Road, is the Red Fox Run subdivision. Coming south from there, directly across from our site, are two parcels zoned C1. One is used as an auto repair business and a self-storage facility. At the corner of Cave Neck Road and Route 1 is a farm market at the intersection. Crossing Cave Neck Road on the west side is a 4.71 acre parcel zone B1, which is currently undeveloped and for sale. Going further south on Route 1 are a number of parcels zoned C1 commercial and numerous businesses and service uses, including Heritage Antiques, the Red Mill Inn, Harvard Business Systems, Delaware Guidance Services, Beach Babies and Beach Buddies facilities, and a Remax Realty Office. To the rear, where the west of most of those businesses is the Painter's Mill residential plan community. On the east side of Route 1, south of our site, again, are a number of parcels zoned C1 commercial and again, a number of businesses, including Schaefer's Tire and Schaefer's Bike Stores, a piano and keyboard store, the Willow Creek Plaza, which contains a home medical equipment store, also a mortgage loan office, and a medical clinic. Board just shows the existing zoning in the area. The yellow is our site. The parcels marked in the reddish color are the existing land zone commercial. The one in blue is the B1 piece at the Cape Neck Road intersection. So there's a mixture of businesses and commercial zoning existing in the area.
What are the whites, Mr. Fugue?
Excuse me?
The white, what are those reflect?
The white are zoned AR.
Thank you.
So based on the numerous business uses in the immediate area and the many properties along the Route 1 section there that are already zoned C1 and B1, this is an area where a general mixture of commercial and service activities now exist and are permitted. As to the particulars of our site, a wetlands inspection was performed by Environmental Resources, Inc., our wetland consultant, and that determined that there were no state tidal wetlands or federal non-tidal wetlands present on the site. A letter from the consultant is Exhibit C of the exhibit packet. The State Historic Preservation Office indicated in the plus comments that there are no known historic or cultural resources sites located on the property. DENREC indicated in the plus comments that there are no state rare or federally listed plants, animals, or natural communities located on the site. Central water for domestic use and fire protection will be provided by Tidewater Utilities, Inc., a state-regulated public utility company, and an ability to serve letter is in the record as an exhibit to the environmental assessment report. Electricity will be provided by Delaware Electric Co-op, and again, an ability to serve letter is in the record. Central wastewater service will be provided by Artesian Resources. Artesian provides existing wastewater service in close proximity to the site, and existing wastewater transmission, treatment, and disposal facilities are available and have existing capacity to serve the shopping center. Again, an ability to serve letter from Artesian Resources, Inc. is Exhibit M of the exhibit packet. I want to emphasize, so there is no confusion, that the shopping center will have no wastewater service provided by Artesian. It will not have or utilize in any way or have any impact on the Milton Sewage Treatment Plant. It will be serviced by Artesian.
Where will it go?
Artesian sprays has spray irrigation.
Uh-huh. In the nearby or close by?
Nearby, as I understand it.
Okay.
The property is in the jurisdiction of the Delaware State Police, and the shopping center will also have private on-site security. The New Lewis Fire Station is located at Nassau, less than a mile and a half from the site. As to traffic impact, as I said, Wes Guckert of Traffic Group will discuss the traffic impact study and DLDOT's response and requirements in detail. However, there is one aspect of the required improvements that I do want to comment on. The State of Delaware Department of Transportation implements a corridor capacity preservation program. The goals of that program include maintaining a road's ability to handle traffic and to minimize the transportation impacts of increased economic growth. Now, Route 1 from Dover south to Five Points is one of the designated corridors. So it is part of the corridor capacity program, and it's part of their long-range plan to construct new intersections with overpasses at several of the existing Route 1 intersections in the corridor.
Could you repeat that one more time? What's the name of that? If I want to make sure I write that down.
Okay.
Please.
The
corridor?
LDOT operates the Corridor Capacity Preservation Program, or CCPP. The Route 1 section runs from Dover to Five Points. And as I said, what part of that program is at several of these intersections to basically reconstruct them. And I think, as you all are aware, several of the Route 1 intersections have overpasses that have been constructed in the past several years.
Can I ask you a short question? That's not by memorandum of understanding. It's by law, is that right? The Corridor Preservation Plan?
It's a DLDOT policy that was created.
It's a policy, a DLDOT policy.
Yeah,
all
it's
right.
It's a DLDOT policy, not a county policy.
Okay, fine. Well, I wanted to know if it was law, but.
Oh, well, I mean, it was enacted by legislation in Delaware. DLDOT implemented it by regulation, I believe.
That's enough.
But the state has that program, and then the county has the overlay, the highway corridor overlay,
right,
that kind of work together.
Okay, thanks.
As part of the Route 1 Corridor Capacity Preservation Program, a redesigned intersection with a Route 1 overpass is planned for the Route 1 Cave Neck Road intersection. And that's the intersection that we impact where we're located. Now, this is not breaking news. Exhibit E of the exhibit packet that you have is a copy of a DLDOT letter dated August 23rd, 2001 to Mr. Lank regarding the Painter's Mill RPC, which was then called Painter's Purchase. Now, the letter confirms that the Route 1 Cave Neck Road intersection is part of the CCP program, and that a full interchange with a Route 1 overpass was planned by DLDOT as early as 2001. And in addition, Exhibit F of the exhibit book are the minutes of the March 21st, 2002 Planning and Zoning Commission hearing on Painter's Mill RPC application. And those minutes do note that a new interchange and overpass is going to be located there by DLDOT, and they actually required that developer of Painter's Mill to dedicate a sufficient right-of-way in the northeast corner of the Painter Mill development to accommodate the construction of DLDOT's proposed Route 1 Cave Neck Road interchange. So my point in mentioning this is to make it clear that the proposed new interchange and overpass is not the result of our proposal, but it's been in the DLDOT's long-range plan for some time. Based on the traffic impact study that was done by the traffic group and numerous meetings and discussions with DLDOT, it was agreed that the applicant, TD Rehoboth, would contribute $8 million toward the cost of construction of the new interchange, and that would permit the interchange to be built in the near future and will reduce the cost to the state by the $8 million. In the DLDOT letter, DLDOT's Corridor Capacity Preservation Program Manager indicated that he had no objection to the proposed development, provided that a grade-separated intersection with Route 1 and Cave Neck Road is utilized. So all of what I just represented is documented in DLDOT's letter dated September 9th, 2014, which I asked you to insert the amended page 9, the corrected page 9, and that is in the record. Now, as I said, Mr. Gucker will discuss that further, but in summary, our proposal is not the reason or the cause of the new intersection. It was already planned by DLDOT, but it would be, and eventually would be built regardless of our proposal, but the applicant will be contributing $8 million to the cost to enable that to be constructed in the near future. Now, what I've said up to this point is background information about the site and the proposed use. What I would like to do now is to actually focus on the actual question before the county council. Again, is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning under the applicable legislative standards? Again, as the Court of Chancery stated in Gibson, public comment should be considered by the council, but ultimately the county council's reasoning must be articulated and must relate to the statutory mandates. Now, in considering if our proposal is appropriate for CR1 zoning, there are four relevant sources of guidance to determine the statutory mandates. And that's what I'm going to be referring to in my presentation. The first is the State of Delaware's strategies for state policies and spending. The second is the Sussex County Comprehensive Land Use Plan. The third is the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. And the fourth is consideration of an analysis of comments and determinations made by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission and the Sussex County Council in other applications seeking CR1 zoning. So I'm going to review each of those four sources of guidance in order, and I want to emphasize that it is these four factors that led the applicant to choose this site. First, the state strategies. Even though zoning decisions are under county control and are made locally, the state has a significant interest in zoning decisions since the state makes investments in road systems, schools, and similar matters of public benefit. Back in 1999, the state developed the original strategies for state policies and spending to guide state investment decisions and to coordinate communications with local governments on land use matters. The strategies document has been periodically updated, and it currently classifies land as being in one of five different investment levels, levels 1 through 4, and what is referred to as out of play. The strategies document contains an investment level map identifying the applicable level for different areas. Exhibit G of the exhibit book that you have is the investment level or the investment areas overview. That's a section of the strategies document, and it states, it should be noted that the levels are not meant as ascending levels of importance, but rather as a way to distinguish the different types of funding priorities within each area. Levels 1 through 3 are the areas that state policies will support growth and economic development activities, with levels 1 and 2 being the primary focus. In these areas, the state would like to see local government land use policies that promote higher densities and mixed-use type development such that complete communities can be developed where people can live, play, work, and shop. The next three pages of Exhibit G are actually the investment level maps. The TD site is marked with an X on the exhibit that I have in the booklet. There's a larger version and then a blown-up version. If you look at those maps, you can see that the site is located in the yellow level 3 area. And as stated in the strategies document, that area is where the strategy states that state policies will support growth and economic development activities. That determination is confirmed by the first page of the Office of State Planning Coordination's PLUS comments, which again is in the record. The PLUS comments state, this project is located in investment level 3 according to the strategies for state policies and spending. Investment level 3 reflects areas where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state plans in the longer-term future. The strategies document was adopted some time ago, and we are now in the longer-term future. The significance of the level 3 determination is further confirmed by the state through DLDOT's comments on page 9 of the September 9, 2014 TIS letter, where DLDOT states that the proposed development is located within an investment level 3 area and is to be developed as commercial space. This type of development is consistent with the character of the second category investment level 3 area. It is therefore concluded that the proposed development generally complies with the policy stated in a 2010 update of the strategy for state policies and spending. Now, in addition to those determinations, I do want to point out to you that if you, again, look at the investment level map, you will see that all of the land fronting on the west side of Route 1 again, this is Exhibit G of the book. Again, this is the investment level map. This is our site here in the level 3. All of the land on the west side of Route 1 up to Cave Neck Road is actually in the level 1, and it gets distorted on this blow-up, but a good portion of the land on the east side is also in the level one or the level three. And that would, the area I was referring to there is basically the area from Five Points up through Cave Neck Road. So it's clear that the Route 1 corridor from Five Points up to and including our site is an area where the state anticipates, directs, and plans for growth. Going back to the question, is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning according to the state strategies document? The answer is clearly yes. The second source of guidance in considering our request for the is the 2008 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan update. The creation of the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan was mandated by the enactment of the Quality of Life Act. That was a state law that required creation of a county comprehensive plan. And the state law provides that the maps created as part of the plan shall have the force of law, and any proposed development must be in conformity with the maps. The 2008 Comprehensive Plan update replaced the 2002 Comprehensive Plan. The 2008 update was the result of 18 months of public meetings, planning sessions, public input, and numerous draft revisions. The plan was reviewed and commented on by the Cabinet Committee on State Planning Issues. It was reviewed by the Office of State Planning Coordination as part of the PLUS process in November of 2007. Comments were issued from the PLUS agencies on December 21st, 2007. The actual 2008 Comprehensive Plan update was adopted by the County Council on June 24th, 2008, and it was certified by the Governor on October 27th, 2008. The Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission was an integral part of that process, and the Sussex County Council exercised the final legislative act in adopting the plan update. The 2008 comp plan update is the existing current land use plan required by state law and is the blueprint for future land use in Sussex County. Exhibit H of my exhibit packet contains some sections of the plan and a copy of the future land use map that I'm going to be referring to. The comp plan discusses various elements related to land use in Sussex County, but it states that the future land use element or plan is probably the most influential part of the comp plan, and that zoning regulations are intended to carry out the future land use plan. The future land use plan also designates which parts of the county are to be considered growth areas, and that being labeled a growth area has implications in county zoning. It's on page 3-7 of the plan. The future land use plan divides Sussex County into two types of planning areas, growth areas and rural areas. And then it lists subcategories within each area. The environmentally sensitive development area is one of the designated growth areas in the plan. Again, that's on page 3.8. The plan states that it seeks to direct the county's most concentrated forms of new development to growth areas, including higher density residential development and most business development, page 3-9. And that the Sussex County government encourages economic growth, page 2-2. The last three pages of the exhibit are portions of the future land use map showing our area. And I referred to this earlier, the again, our parcel is right here, and as you can see, our parcel is within the hatched area, which is the environmentally sensitive developing area, growth area. In fact, our site is the northern boundary of the growth area. The plan in presenting the major guidelines for future growth in the environmentally sensitive development area specifically states in the plan under the heading Permitted Uses that, and I quote, retail and office uses are appropriate, but larger shopping centers and office parks should be confined to selected locations with access to arterial roads. That's on page 3-16 of the plan. So the plan recognizes that larger shopping centers can be permitted and are appropriate in the environmentally sensitive development area, but limits them to selected sites with access to arterial roads. And as I will discuss shortly, Route 1 is a major arterial road. The plan, again on page 3-16, also strongly encourages central water and sewer facilities for development in the environmentally sensitive development area. And our proposed site will have, as I've already stated, central water provided by Tidewater and central sewer provided by Artesians. So our zoning request is clearly in accordance with the future land use element of the plan. As to other relevant elements of the plan, the development of the site will be consistent with the conservation element design. The design will conform to the 2014 stormwater water regulations, resulting in quality control and groundwater recharge, and will also comply with the TMDL, total maximum daily load pollutant reduction targets, and also comply with the source water protection regulations. Buffers will be provided, and as I stated earlier, no wetlands are located on the site. The development will be in accordance with the water and wastewater element, since the site will be served against central water and central sewer. The economic development element of the plan states that tourism has been the strongest factor recently driving job growth in Sussex County, and that the hospitality sector and retail trade sector are the fastest growing sectors. Now, why do tourists want to shop here? There's a pretty simple answer to that. Delaware is one of only two states east of Montana that does not have a sales tax. New Hampshire is the other one. Virginia has a 5% sales tax, Maryland a 6% sales tax, Pennsylvania 6% sales tax, and New Jersey a 7% sales tax. That does make Delaware the home of tax-free shopping, and that is a very appealing to our visitors. Exhibit D of the exhibit book is an economic impact summary. It is projected that the construction and development of the center will generate an expenditure of approximately $100 million, resulting in economic benefits of job creation, real estate tax, transfer tax revenue, employee compensation, and the secondary impact of that activity on other sectors of the economy. It is estimated that the development and construction of the center will utilize 400 construction jobs, and the center, when fully operating, will create approximately 1,500 jobs, composed of management and supervisory positions, sales and maintenance, security, and other customer service-related positions. I also, as I said, want to refer to a letter in the record from the Sussex County Economic Development Action Committee, CDAC. CDAC was founded after the 2007 Sussex County Today and Tomorrow Conference, and that conference focused on economic development. CDAC's goal is to create self-sustaining, long-run economic growth in Sussex County. The CDAC letter that's in the record is dated February 11, 2015. It states that the CDAC committee voted unanimously to write their letter of support for the project, and it further states, and I quote, "We believe that this development will be beneficial to the county economically, will improve public safety in this area, will expand traditional retail and shopping opportunities, will enhance job opportunities throughout Sussex County, and will retain much of the revenue generated by the project in Sussex County." That's close quote. In summary, the shopping center development will generate a tremendous economic benefit to Sussex County. As to the historic preservation element of the comp plan, the land is cleared farmland. As I stated, the State Historic Preservation Office indicated in the plus comments there are no known historic sites to be impacted. The request is in accordance with the intergovernmental coordination element of the plan. The proposed development does not directly impact the two closest municipalities, Milton and Lewis, both of which are located approximately 5.5 miles from the site. Our proposal was reviewed as part of the PLUS process, and as I previously stated, the Office of State Planning Coordination stated that our site is located in an investment level 3 area, which is an area where growth is anticipated by local, county, and state plans. And also, additionally, DelDOT stated on page 9 of its September 9, 2014 letter, and I quote, "This parcel is currently zoned AR1, agricultural residential, and the developer proposes to rezone the land CR1, commercial residential. According to the comprehensive plan, this zoning is appropriate under the future land use designation of an environmentally sensitive developing area." Then states, "The proposed development's compatibility with the comprehensive plan. The proposed development is planned as 857,000 square feet of commercial space. Given that the site's future land use designation is an environmentally sensitive developing area, this development is consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan." So our proposal has been coordinated with the state in conformance with the element, the governmental coordination element. As to the mobility element, as I said, we'll be addressing that in a moment. As part of the required improvements, the developer will be contributing $8 million toward the cost of the reconfigured intersection. Those improvements, the overpass and reconfigured intersection, conform with many of the items listed in the vision statement of the mobility element, which is on page 1225 of the plan. That vision statement describes how growth and improvements in Sussex County transportation systems are to be managed, and the plan specifically states that some of those goals are a corridor preservation program to, will be enhanced with necessary access controls to maintain highway capacity. That's basically the overpasses. The public transportation system will be improved to expand and provide better job opportunities, education, and services. There will be a variety of transportation means for tourists to travel. We will have bus service with the bus service in Sussex County. Economic development, including tourism and job creation, will be given high priority in transportation decision-making, and local road improvements will be given high priority to benefit residences and businesses. So we submit that our proposed development is consistent with the mobility element of the plan. So going back to the question again, is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning according to the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan? Again, the answer is yes. Now, the comprehensive plan provides the guiding blueprint for future development in Sussex County, but the third item of guidance that we relied on was the actual zoning ordinance. And the zoning ordinance provides greater specificity. Now, section 115.83.1 of the zoning ordinance, there's a copy in Exhibit E, I believe, of our, no, there's a copy in I.
Excuse me, Jim. She's getting emotional.
Oh, Lord.
No, yes. Is that moving?
Yes, you move me. Oh,
my.
Please go on.
The zoning section I'm referring to is in Exhibit I of our packet. It states the purpose of CR1 zoning. So this is the general purpose clause of the CR1 zone. And it states that the purpose of this district is to provide sufficient space in appropriate locations for a wide variety of commercial and miscellaneous service activities, generally serving a wide area and located particularly along certain existing major thoroughfares where a general mixture of commercial and service activity now exists, but which uses are not characterized by extensive warehousing, frequent heavy trucking activity, open storage of materials, or the nuisance factors of dust, odor, and noise associated with manufacturing. Now, the TD application provides sufficient space, 114 acres. It's in an appropriate location. It's in a growth zone under the comp plan. It's in an investment level 3 under the state strategies plan, where development is directed. It's going to provide for a wide variety of commercial and service activities. The shopping center will provide extensive retail service activities, many of which are not currently available in Sussex County. It will serve a wide area. The shopping center will be serving all of the current and future residents of Sussex County, as well as visitors to the area. Our site is located along an existing major thoroughfare, Route 1. There is a general mixture of commercial and service activity now existing. Again, there are numerous businesses located along that Route 1 area, and many parcels of land zoned commercial or business. And the use does not result in extensive warehousing, frequent heavy trucking, open storage, or the nuisance of dust, odor, or noise associated with manufacturing. So it meets the purpose clause of the CR1 zoning. And in addition, there is an additional section, which again is in the same Exhibit I, and this is section 115-833, and it addresses what's called large-scale uses in the CR1 zoning district. And a large-scale use is described as generally serving a regional area and having a floor area exceeding 75,000 square feet. So clearly, our proposal, as stated in our rezoning application, is for a large-scale commercial use. The section further states that large-scale uses be located where adequate infrastructure is existing or planned. And as I stated, our development will be served by public central water and sewer, and the development will contribute to the road infrastructure improvements that are going to be required by DLDOT. Most importantly, the large-scale section requires that such uses shall be adjacent to a major arterial roadway as defined in Section 99.5 of the Subdivision Ordinance. Now, the use there of shall makes this requirement mandatory. So a large-scale commercial use must be adjacent to a major arterial roadway as defined in the Subdivision Ordinance. Section 99.5 of the Subdivision Ordinance, which is Exhibit J of the exhibit booklet, designates which roads in Sussex County are major arterial roads. And this is very significant because in eastern Sussex County, there are only three major arterial roads. So this is actually the definition under Section 99.5 of the Subdivision Ordinance. So as shown on here, major arterial roadways. The first major arterial roadway in eastern Sussex County is item F. That's U.S. Route 9 from its intersection with Route 13 to its intersection with Delaware Route 1. So that'd be coming from Georgetown over to Five Points. That section of Route 9 is a two-lane road, one lane in each direction. That would be inappropriate and unsuitable for our proposed use or for any large-scale use. The second arterial road is item G, this one right here. Item G is Route 9 from Route 1 to the southwesterly town limit of the town of Lewis. So that's the other side of Route 1 going into Lewis. Now, as you know, a prior large-scale CR1 use, which was change of zone 1690, was proposed on that very roadway. And that application was denied for reasons that I will be addressing in a moment. And for those reasons, that section is certainly inappropriate for our proposed use. The final arterial roadway is item A, which is Delaware Route 1 from the Kent County line to the Maryland line. So that gives us the whole section of Route 1 as appropriate. The area along Route 1 from the Nassau Bridge south to the Maryland line has no suitable acreage available for this proposed large-scale use due to the fact that that area is mostly a barrier island with wetland areas or state parkland, or due to the fact that the area is fully developed from Dewey Beach north to the Nassau Bridge. And even if land were available, I submit that our site location would still be more suitable and appropriate than further south. So what that leaves is basically the 1.5 mile corridor from Route 1, corridor of Route 1 from the Nassau Bridge to the northern boundary of our parcel as the only available location possible for a large-scale commercial use under the provisions of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. Now, as you drive along that section of Route 1, it's obvious that most of that land fronting Route 1 is already developed and not available. Now, the only exception So this would be driving north, coming from the Nassau Bridge. And as you can see, development basically on both sides of the road. The only thing available are these farm parcels right here, of which our site is one of those. This is the northern boundary of the growth zone. There really is nothing else available other than these three farms or four farms. And as I said, Mr. Chappell's farm that we have a contract on is one of those farms I'm referring to. Our proposed site is appropriate for development because of the county's inclusion of this land in the designated growth zone. In fact, as I said, our parcel is the northern limit of the growth zone. The use we're proposing cannot be located north of our parcel because that area is not in the growth zone. It's designated as rural, and the proposed use would not be in accordance with the comprehensive plan, future land use map, or the plan itself, and therefore would not be appropriate or approved for that matter. Our proposed site meets all of the requirements of the CR1 purpose section and all of the requirements of the large-scale commercial use section of the zoning code. And I do want to mention that I'm dealing with the code as it exists. This is a law that's in place. The county could have, if it was intended, prohibited large-scale commercial uses on Route 1, or they could have prohibited large-scale commercial uses in eastern Sussex County, or they could have restricted the maximum size of large-scale commercial uses. But that was not done. In fact, what the county did in the comprehensive plan and in our zoning ordinance was the opposite. The large-scale commercial use section of the zoning code not only permits large-scale uses, but it directs that such uses be located, as I said, on either Route 9 or Route 1. And it imposes no size restriction on such use. So the location or the size of large-scale commercial uses can be modified by amendment to the zoning code if that's the council's desire. But the council cannot consider restrictions that do not currently exist to arbitrarily deny an application that conforms to the ordinance. So again, the code says what it says. If that's not what you want it to say, you change the code to say what you want it to say. But I am operating, my client's operating under the existing laws as it is today. Again, returning to the question, is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning and large-scale commercial use according to the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance? Again, I think the answer is clearly yes. Now, the fourth and final source of guidance regarding the CR1 change of zone request are the comments and opinions expressed by the Planning and Zoning Commission and the County Council in deciding similar rezoning-type applications. And the most recent and relevant prior application was the application of LT Associates, LLC, that was Change of Zone 1690. That application was to amend the zoning from AR1 to CR1 for a 45-acre parcel located on Kings Highway, which is Route 9. That was between Route 1 and the Lewistown limits. That application was sought subject to the 2008 comp plan update, which is the same as our application. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation was made in October 2009. The County Council's decision was made in January 2010. Both of those decisions were 3-2 for denial of that application. We have no opinion or position as to the merits of that application or the council or the commission's decision. We are referring to that decision only for guidance and direction as expressed by the commission and the council as to where CR1 large-scale use would be appropriate. In voting to deny that application, I think Councilwoman Deaver, Councilman Cole, and Councilman Vincent relied significantly on the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and a copy of the Planning and Zoning Commission's minutes of its recommendation is Exhibit K of the exhibit packet. What I'm going to do is summarize the main points expressed by the Planning and Zoning Commission in its recommendation of denial of Change of Zone 1690 and contrast those points with our application. First, in LT, Reason 3B, the Commission stated that this location does not serve a wide area as referenced in the purpose of the CR1 zoning district. It is not located on a roadway that serves a wide area, since King's Highway serves primarily the destinations of Lewis, the State Park, and the ferry, and does not serve traffic coming or going from a wide area of Sussex County. Now, in contrast, our site is located on Route 1, which is the principal arterial road in eastern Sussex County. Route 1 serves a wide area and a diverse population, including area residents, Sussex County residents in general, seasonal beach residents and visitors, and just travelers going up and down the East Coast in that direction. The second reason stated by the commission is reason number 3C. The commission stated there is not currently a general mixture of service activities along King's Highway or Gills Neck Road adjacent to the property. Again, in contrast, Route 1 is the major commercial area in eastern Sussex County. The area between Nassau Bridge and Dewey Beach is already fully developed, and the mile-and-a-half corridor from the Nassau Bridge north to our property is mostly developed, as I said, with the exception of the farm parcels of which our site is one. And again, our land is located where growth is anticipated by both the state and the county plans. And the entire western side and a good portion of the eastern side of Route 1 is designated as an investment level 1. Also, as I stated, there are many properties owned commercial and business and numerous businesses located in this area. And, of course, most importantly, Route 1 is a major arterial road. The third reason stated by the commission, the reason number 4, states that while there are some regional and large-scale shopping centers or commercially zoned properties in the environmentally sensitive development area, most, if not all of these, are either smaller than what has been proposed by the applicant, predated the establishment of the environmentally sensitive developing area overlay, or are along more appropriate major thoroughfares where a true mix of service and commercial uses already exist and are more easily accessible. Our site is one that's located on one of the more appropriate major thoroughfares referred to in that reasoning, Route 1, the major arterial road. The fourth reason was number 5. The county's comprehensive plan promotes intergovernmental coordination with local municipalities and specifically references large development applications. On this application, the Lewis City Council and the Board of Public Works both officially expressed strong concern and objections to the project and requested it be denied. Our site, as I said, is not in close proximity to any municipality. It's approximately 5.5 miles from Milton and Lewis. And as far as promotion of intergovernmental coordination, the Office of State Planning Coordination stated that our site is located in an investment area where growth is anticipated. DelDOT indicated that our proposed development is in compliance with the 2010 update of the state strategies and is consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Fifth, the commission stated in reason number 7 that there has been strong public opposition to the project focusing on the additional traffic that would be generated by it and the cumulative impact of the existing projects along Gills Neck Road that have been approved or applied for. And again, as far as traffic impact, the developer prepared a traffic impact study under the specifications of DelDOT. It's been working with DelDOT regarding the required improvements. And as I've stated, the developer will be required and has agreed to contributing $8 million toward the intersection improvements. As I mentioned earlier, this is a long-term plan of DelDOT's, and basically this will permit it to be done now. Also, again, in DelDOT's September 9, 2014 letter, the CCPP program manager indicated they had no objection. He had no objection to the proposed development, provided that the improved intersection was incorporated into that design. The commission further noted in reason number 7 that there was another concern expressed by the public was its proximity of the proposed commercial center nearly across the street from the new Cape Henlopen High School. A new project of this size and scale is not well suited to such a location for safety reasons because it will not be compatible with the traffic generated by the high school and its athletic, educational, and community activities and uses. Now, again, in contrast, our property fronts on Route 1. It's surrounded on the northeast and south by farmland, resulting on no significant impact on our neighboring properties. And lastly, the commission's reason number 8 states, the proposed project does not meet the purpose of the zoning ordinance since it does not promote the orderly growth of the county. Again, in contrast, our site is located in an area where the state has determined, is appropriate for growth, and the state anticipates growth. Our land is in a growth area designated by the Sussex County Comp Plan. The plan specifically states that in the environmentally sensitive development growth zone, larger shopping centers and office parks should be confined to selected locations with access to arterial roads. That's what the comp plan states, and our site is a location with access to an arterial road, Route 1, which is one of the arterial roads where large-scale commercial uses, such as a shopping center, are permitted. And not only permitted, but are required to be located by the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. We will be served by central water and sewer. The development contains no wetlands, no negative environmental impacts, and basically is appropriate and, in effect, amounts to orderly growth. So, in summary, many of the very same reasons relied on by the Planning Commission and the County Council as the basis for denying Change of Zone 1690, the LT rezoning, are reasons that support the approval of our site for the same rezoning. So, again, going back to the question I pose, is this parcel appropriate for CR1 zoning and large-scale use according to the prior opinions expressed by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission and the Sussex County Council in deciding similar zone rezoning applications? And again, the answer is yes. So for the reasons stated, the four sources of guidance for you in considering a rezoning decision, the state strategies, the comp plan, the zoning ordinance, and the reasoning of your prior decisions, we believe by a great weight those four factors fully support our application. With that, I'm going to have Steve Gorski discuss the site and some of the engineering-related issues, followed by Wes Guckert, who will discuss the DelDOT issues.
Mr. Fuquay, before you do that, I'm sure some of the council members might have specific questions for you. To the extent that those questions posed may be answered later by some of your experts, if you could just ask them to defer the question for that expert.
We may address some of your questions in the rest of our presentation.
Well, it was just, I missed a few words. The last thing you talked about was the four reasons for approval. You had the state strategy plan, the comp plan. I didn't get the third one.
The zoning ordinance.
Well, that's it. There you go. Okay.
Are you done, Mrs. Deaver?
I have finished. Thank you.
Jim, on the our land use plan, out of your booklet, the goals and purposes of the future land use plan. That's the title, the heading. that document in there. Anyway, they've got a list here. The county's future land use policies are based on the following important goals, and then it lists them. And I'd like to get your comments on how your application meets these goals. Anyway, the first one is direct developments to areas that have community services or can be secure or can secure them cost effectively. So our land use plan, one of the goals is to direct development to areas that have community services. Could you answer that in relationship to your site?
Yeah, well, clearly we are going to have central water from Tidewater, and we're going to have central sewer service from Artesia.
Well, what I hear it says that have, that doesn't mean going to get, it means currently have. There's nothing there at this.
You're implying that you could only develop a site that already has the utilities?
I'm reading this.
Well, that's ridiculous, okay. George.
Well, that's number one. The next bullet point was conserve the county's agricultural economy. This is the goal of our land use plan. Conserve the county's agricultural economy by promoting farming and preserving agricultural land values. Of course, this application doesn't do that. The next one is...
Well, no, that's not true.
Oh, you do conserve some ag lands.
The county council put this land into the environmentally sensitive development area, which is a growth area. That specifically designates this land as appropriate for development. The overriding theme of the comprehensive plan was to create growth areas and rural areas. Okay. And the idea being concentrate development in the growth areas. That enables the rural areas to be preserved, be they farms, be they natural areas, or just whatever's there. So you concentrate development. The whole concept was concentrate development rather than have sprawl. That's okay. What we worked very hard to try to establish.
Okay, I'm just trying to get to see if I'm going down these bullets and getting you to respond to the goals and the purposes of the county's future land use. Anyway, then it said something about protecting critical natural resources such as the inland bays and others by guarding against overdevelopment and permanently preserving selected lands. Of course, this doesn't have any impact on any of that, I don't believe. Then you do have highlighted, you yellowed here, that you do encourages tourism and other responsible commercial development. The next one is housing. And then another one, it says, ensure that new developments incorporate and preserve usable open space and other best practices in their subdivision design. And I look at your, is there anything unique or anything that really preserves the environmental aspects of the environmentally sensitive developing district of this plan?
Mr. Cole, I think you're reading that out of context. I think if you put that in context, it's referring to residential development.
Okay.
Commercial development would, by its nature, not be preserving open space or creating amenities.
Okay. The next one is I want to... That was the goals. Wait, I got another. Okay, then growth areas. This is in a growth area. So I would like to get your responses on this. This says this plan seeks to direct the county's most concentrated forms of new development to growth areas. So then it goes down as a number of bullet points. So respond to tell me how this application fits into these bullet points for a growth area. Proximity to an incorporated municipality or a municipal annexation area. How close are you?
You're not reading that correctly.
No, I'm just reading it.
What it says is...
Okay. Word for word.
Can we have order, please?
What it says is, in determining what were growth areas, these were the factors that were considered in determining what were growth areas.
It says, following guidelines to help determine where growth areas should be.
Right, but the council used that as their guidance in creating the growth areas. And then you implemented those growth areas. That's done. You did it. That was what you considered.
So, okay, so your application in a growth area shouldn't take into consideration its proximity to an incorporated municipality.
No, you use that as guidelines to establish the growth area. We're only going to where you said to go.
But let me ask Mr. Moore. Our land use plan, is it for basically guiding development, not just us? We didn't, once we formed this, I mean, this is the guide. This is something
this is
the
a guideline.
Public should be able to read to interpret what we meant by growth areas, right?
But that was used to create the growth areas.
This is in the document, though. Okay.
Mr. Cole, what page is it?
Yeah. I am on page, it says 3-9. It says Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, future land use elements, June 2008. You highlighted the part up at the top.
Well, again,
I'm just asking you about the bullets underneath.
Well, yeah, you got to read the top first. What the top says is
which exhibit, if I may ask?
It's It's exhibit.
Pulled it out.
It's exhibit H.
H.
All right. 3-9.
Thank you.
It says growth areas. It says the plan seeks to direct the county's most concentrated forms of new development to growth areas, including most higher density residential development and most business development. The county used the following guidelines to help determine where growth areas should be located. I don't have to prove to you that I'm near a municipality. You use that to determine what's a growth area.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, I see that. Okay. Okay, further, the next paragraph. In designating the growth areas, Sussex County applied these guidelines broadly. The county views these guidelines as important but not absolute. The guidelines are helpful criteria, but they are not meant to be inflexible standards that all growth areas must be fully met. Nick, respond to that, I guess. Is that something else that we used that you don't have to use?
Yeah.
Just a question.
I think it goes back to the fact that the land use plan itself is not meant as an inflexible document. It's a guideline. My point, to answer your point, is you designated this, when I say you, I mean the county council, designated this as being a growth area.
Okay.
If you say we're not going to honor our own representation, then that's your decision.
Okay. Then the next page, I guess it is, as I pull it, I was looking at some of these things, and it said the permitted uses in the growth area, in the developing area.
What page?
I guess it's a 3-15.
It's the very next page in your
book. The very next page, I think.
Okay.
The following major guidelines should apply to future growth in developing areas. Now, this is in a developing area. So it said permitted uses. Of course, it talks about housing. A range of housing types are appropriate in most developing areas, including single-family home, townhouses, multifamily. In selected areas, commercial uses should be allowed. How would you consider this a selected area? I mean, it's kind of out there by itself. When you showed us all those commercial, other C1s and stuff, they were very small.
Hold on one second.
Okay.
You're reading from a different section.
Again?
That's not the correct section. Wait, page 315, the environmentally sensitive development area is continued on the next page. You're actually reading the end of the prior area.
The mixed residential.
You were in the mixed residential area.
Did talk about what I was talking about, future growth in the developing area. That's residential growth. Okay. All right. Permitted uses. Then is the next page I got?
Yes. 316. 316 is the one that applies to
all
us.
All right. Retail and office uses are appropriate in larger areas. Okay.
It's retail and office uses are appropriate, but larger shopping centers and office parks should be confined to selected locations with access to arterial roads. And I can assure you that was a very large factor in us even filing this application.
Right. And when I went back to growth areas, where you said we used it, that was for us designating it. The only one I could find of all the bullets was that you were located on a major road. The rest of them, it seemed that you were... It was a stretch because this area isn't close to an incorporated municipality. There isn't any existing public and water sewer nearby currently, is there? Is it right across the street?
Painter's Mill.
Painter's Mill. Is that got county sewer? Is that got a private sewer system?
I believe it's on county sewer.
County, sir.
The residents will know.
Mr. Cole.
County,
sir. Okay.
Mr. Cole, part of the reasoning when this was brought into the growth zone, in the 2002 plan, the entire western side of Route 1 up through Cave Neck Road was in the growth zone.
Okay.
All right. A portion, and if you remember, in that growth zone, there was provision that said 600 feet of land on the other side of the road is also in the growth zone, whether it's designated or not. So the front portions of these properties were in the growth zone by virtue of that ordinance that the county has. In 2008, when the update was completed, the council brought these lands in. I think there were 3 or 4 farms that were brought in. And again, as I said, we're the northern part of that.
I can't remember why they were brought in. The site plans you showed earlier where you showed a number of commercial uses up and down, trying to, other sites that have been zoned commercial. Is there anything that gets anywhere near the size of your parcel?
In order, please.
I'm just trying to, if you could just respond how this is compatible with the commercial trends, the rezoning trends that the council has.
Well, the problem is you're making up rules that aren't required. There is
I'm not
no
making
such
a rule. I'm just asking you if you could.
Well, there's obviously, I mean, as you well know, this is the largest shopping center ever proposed in Sussex County. Mm-hmm. So no, there is nothing comparable to this in size, but there is nothing that says you can't have that either.
Nope. I understand. And then back to the strategies for state policies. I guess I'm reading this one wrong, too, but it just says that the levels 1, 2, 3 are areas that the state policies will support growth and economic development activities, with levels 1 and 2 being the primary focus, right?
Correct.
In these areas, the state would like to see local government land use policies that promote higher densities and mixed use type development. Okay, and it goes on to say, you know, such as complete communities that can be developed where people can, you know, live and work and play and all that stuff. And then it goes to level 4. Is it implying that there's a transition from 1 and 2, which they expect to put money in a priority, and then level 3 is possibly a transition to the level 4 area, which is our least developed, you know, agricultural open space?
Well, I can only tell you what the plan says, and I mean the state strategy says. It says it should be noted that the levels are not meant as ascending levels of importance, but rather as a way of distinguishing, or as a way to distinguish the different types of funding priorities within each area.
Okay. Would level 1 get more funding priorities than level 4?
I think in the process of how they identify targeted areas, yes, one would be a top.
So, but the bottom of that paragraph doesn't reference level 3. What happened to level 3?
The bottom?
Where would you plug in level 3? Somebody, so where it says level 1 and 2 are being the primary focus.
Well, again, I think, I don't think you're reading that sentence correctly. I think what it says is the levels 1 through 3 are areas that state policies will support growth and economic development activities, with levels 1 and 2 being the primary focus, period, in these areas. It's referring to 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. You could read it, I guess, that way. You could read it.
It's the correct way.
Okay. I think I'm done for now.
Okay. Were there any other questions from council?
We'll keep it down there before it comes down here.
I've had a turn. Go ahead. Now go.
No, go ahead.
Well, one of my main concerns for years has been the intersection there. And you probably can't answer this question for me, but I'm wondering, should it be denied? Does DelDOT have any plans? I would like to know, but I'm sure that's not an answer that you have, but I'm just concerned, you know, so.
Well, I think, as I said, we got a traffic expert that's going to talk about that, and I know representatives from DelDOT are here, and they can address that, too. So maybe why don't you wait, and we'll probably get to that.
Right. Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Earlier in your presentation there, it was mentioned that our county's website is incorrect regarding the current zoning?
The zoning map shown.
The zoning map.
I don't mean the whole map is incorrect.
No, I understand.
But I think in 2008, when the land use plan was updated and this area was added to the environmentally sensitive area, that never got put onto the zoning map on the website.
Okay, and who can confirm that from the county?
I can.
Is that accurate?
The map indicates the area as being a 600-foot line on the opposite, on this side of Route 1. The comp plan was adopted to include those parcels that Jim referenced, the three farms. It was this property and the Robinson property, or two properties, the Robinson, I believe, to be inclusive into the environmentally sensitive developing area.
And that is clearly shown on the comp plan.
It's not on the zoning map, I don't know. It was just pointed out to me last week. I didn't know it was not correct.
Okay. So I
look at the comp plan. I don't always look at the zoning map. I look at the comp plan also.
Okay. I would like to maybe at some point in time maybe just get somebody to check on that one. Obviously, lots of DelDOT questions, as you were referring to earlier, which I know we will refer to later. Okay. I did have a question regarding your point number two, Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. Let me pull up Exhibit D, your economic impact study. Page number two of that study, it whereas you're talking about $100 million estimated development cost, line item number six, transfer tax, $7.5 million at 3%. So I presume that is the contract price, I'm guessing. Though that's, I guess, I just perhaps spilled the beans because that's probably not supposed to be public record. But it's in here.
We won't tell anybody.
Okay. So, but really more importantly is my question is, because obviously we all know every single landowner in here pays a 3% transfer tax when one buys and sells a property. But more importantly is line item number seven, land parcel sales. Could you explain what that is?
Oh, that's the pad sites.
Pad sites.
Pad sites out on.
So you are selling the padded sites?
Pad sites are sold.
Got it. So the developer is going to purchase it from the current owner, and then
the developer will be buying the raw acreage and then developing the site, and then that's what happens with most developments. You can see the pad sites would almost laid out as lots, mm-hmm. and they're sold separately.
That's the question I have is, it's in here, so therefore I'm not totally familiar with malls of this size reselling parcels.
Okay, and this is not a mall.
Well, whatever you...
The shopping center.
Shopping center, forgive me. Reselling it, that's the plan.
Per
what's represented here.
The entity is operating the shopping center. That will all be one ownership.
Right.
Okay? These are just basically out parcels that you see at... Well, you see it along Route 1 where some of the fast food stores and things of that nature are, banks, things of that nature that are separately owned.
Okay, just curious because that's...
So the item you're talking about is actually just referring to additional transfer tax based just on those parcels.
Sure, I understand. Lots of other questions, but we will refer that for later. Thank you.
Okay. Were there any other questions from council before we move on?
The total square foot is just those brown areas of those buildings, not the pad sites that might be there in the future?
No, the pad sites are
included in some kind of...
53.
Okay.
But we're not voting on that.
No, that's...
No, you're not voting on
that. That's conceptual.
Right,
that doesn't mean a thing.
Right.
Questions on the presentation provided thus far. That's all.
Right. Okay. Mr. Fuquay?
Could I just make one point? Okay. Being that this is conceptual, could you tell your experts if not to get too involved in details on something that's conceptual? Because like you said earlier, the more important thing is the land use application here where we rezone the property.
I can tell you absolutely they will not. We're not planning on doing that.
Thank you.
We're just going to talk briefly on some general principles that will apply, but we're not going into any specifics because we do not have a site plan at this point.
Right.
We're trying to get the zoning.
It's conceptual, right. We know.
Richard Wolf has a question. Thank you.
Mr. Fuquay,
you're not off the hook yet.
I can't let the rest of them get too far ahead. Can you tell me something about how much interference this is going to have with the rest of the farmers as far as spray crops and things like that?
Well, I don't see how it would have any interference. Basically, what you have is the, as I said, this where the growth zone ends, obviously, it's got to end somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You got to draw the line somewhere. In this situation, we have... as I said, north of our site is a rural area. It's a farm that's been put into agricultural preservation. And, you know, all that means is you are on the list that you can be eligible to have development rights purchased. There are some restrictions that apply to you, and you can remove yourself from that list, too, after a period of time. That operation will continue. Since it's on the growth side, again, this farmer determined to sell his property. Because it's in a growth area. And so I think it gives a good example of that significant difference between whether you're in a growth area or a rural area. In a rural area, you can't develop it. You go and add crop preservation. In this area, it is in the growth area. The farmer's selling it for development.
But that will give his neighbor farmer not the right to get his stuff sprayed, in a sense of speaking. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, there's existing state law as far as right to farm laws.
And there's right to farm. But then the FFA comes in and tells you how close you can get and how high to fly and all such thing. That will probably, won't that override our state law and county law?
No, I don't see how this would interfere with that. The The height of these buildings are already controlled by the county zoning ordinance. Mr. Lank, what's the height of commercial? Is it
42, 45.
42, so it's really not significantly more than a house.
I don't think it's the height so much as it is. They're only allowed to be so close to a general area like this, I think.
Now, are you referring to the Hudson Airport?
Yeah, I'm thinking of the Fran.
Right. Well, the
farm,
height.
The farm area there, really.
Well, okay. Well, yeah. As far as the airport, you know, it depends on your, your slope coming into the point, and this doesn't affect that. As far as the farmer next door, I mean, I don't know how that would affect them in any way negative.
Well, I don't know. I was talking to the guys that just ran for me, and they're quite concerned they're not going to be allowed to get up anywhere near where this development's going to be. That seems to be my concern. It's not that it doesn't interfere with other farmers. That's where the...
Yeah, but I don't. If this was a residential development, with houses could be built to what height, Lawrence? 42 feet?
42 foot per dwellings.
So it wouldn't it be any significant difference? So whether this is developed residentially or as a shopping center is really...
As long as it's clear, I don't want to go into this thing and say, well, farmers don't have the right to have the land sprayed and we're near this place and we want to...
Well, I have never heard of that issue coming up on anything else, you know, that I've been involved in.
Okay.
But we certainly can find out more about it if you want us to.
We'll talk about it a little
okay.
more.
And real quick,
but you keep saying that the rural area just starts at this point. Wouldn't you consider it all right now rural? The whole area is rural. I mean, there's nothing there right now. You wouldn't really look at this just because a land use plan, a map has put this into some area. It would be considered a rural area right now, wouldn't it?
Well, you're talking in the dictionary definition of rural.
Yeah, I am.
These are farms, and of course, the rural. I'm not talking about the dictionary definition of rural. I'm talking about the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the designation of different districts as growth districts and rural districts. And what I'm saying is, as enacted by the county council under the land use plan, right up to there is growth.
Right, I understand.
Right past there is rural. That's what I'm talking
okay.
about.
So it's a rural area in a growth zone.
Well, it's maybe. Farmland. I yes. mean, it certainly okay. is farmland. I can't argue that.
That would be fair. Do you want to proceed?
Yep, that's it.
Hi, my name is Steve Gorski. I work for Duffield Associates, 5400 Limestone Road, Wilmington, Delaware. I'm a registered professional engineer in Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. I'm here just to briefly speak about some of the site conditions on site. And I won't go into any detail on the concept site plan, just a few things, parameters that affect stormwater management in the Great Marsh that have been brought up. As Jim had said, the existing site is 114 acres. About 108 acres of that is farm field, 6 acres wooded hardwood forest up in the northeast corner. There is also a dirt driveway that accesses a property housed in the rear of the property up here. The site slopes grade-wise gently from west to east, from Route 1 at the high points, about elevation 26. The grade in the eastern side is about 8. The point being the 8 grade is above tidal elevation. And that'll be the discharge point of the bulk of our property for stormwater. As Jim also alluded to, I'll just briefly go over a couple other things. There are no wetlands on site. That was confirmed by 2 consultants that we had hired. No tax ditches or tax ditch watersheds are on site. There's a small subaqueous ditch on the far east corner, far east side, as I mentioned right there. There are no floodplains or wellhead protection areas on site as defined by county code and also per FEMA regulations for floodplains. Soils and stormwater management. Soil studies performed in March during the middle of the wet season. We had 24 borings performed for the purpose of just determining what we can do for stormwater management on site. We found 2 things that were very encouraging. We have a very deep water table in the area, over 10 feet in depth over most of the site. with the exception, again, of the eastern side, very far eastern side of the site. Also, the infiltration rates on the property are very, very good, 10 inches per hour up to 20 inches per hour. The points of these two main focuses of the study indicate that infiltration practices are adequate and encouraged for soils of this nature. So soils, again, are all sandy and gravel with a topsoil layer. Stormwater management thus will be done primarily with infiltration practices. All these green areas in the parking lot, again, it's conceptual only, but at the end of the day, all those areas will be collecting runoff from the parking lots, treating them through a soil media and biological uptake with plants that will be planted in those areas to provide water quality control and groundwater recharge as required by the Source Water Protection Act of the county, as well as the latest stormwater management regulations that were just promulgated by the...
Didn't you just say there's no groundwater recharge area, and then you said, and then you talked about groundwater recharge
area. Sorry. We're proposing, and we're required by the Source Water Protection Act of the county to promote groundwater recharge when we're above a certain percentage of impervious area on site.
Okay.
We will do that. I'll
get
to that.
So there's no marked groundwater recharge. All right. Okay.
It's in an excellent groundwater recharge area.
I understand. Thank you.
Part of it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The stormwater management, again, will meet and exceed Delaware's latest stormwater management code, which was put into effect January 1st, 2014. Mm-hmm. This code goes well beyond what was required before that for any development that occurred in the county prior to that, residential or commercial. So that'll require water quality control, quantity control in the form of 10 and 100 year management for the 10 year storm and 100 year storm, the recharge, and also the quality control with the bioretention pits. The flood control would be established primarily with the blue areas, the ponds, the wet ponds, stormwater ponds you normally see. They'll fill up over time during a rainstorm.
Excuse me, are you talking about things that would be done if this shopping center were approved? Or are you talking about things that would be done if this is approved for CR1 zoning?
This is something that would be required.
Because the county requires these things?
And the state, yes.
Okay, so that you're running down the different codes and laws that would affect that,
correct.
Right? Okay, thank you very much.
So as part of the, we would propose, again, the exact footprint's going to change over time. It's already changed 6 times. I think we're up to alternate F already, starting with A. But the storm management will be provided with a number of things, bioretention, wet ponds, porous pavement. And all this, in turn, will reduce the total nitrogen and total phosphorus loads, pollutant loads from the site below the levels of the existing condition of the farm field. The owner will also enter and will be required to enter a maintenance agreement to ensure that these storm management facilities will last over time, that they won't begin to fail over 10 years. They'll need to go out and replace the mulch beds on an annual basis. They'll need to come out and replace the filter media if need be, if they start clogging up over time. Again, as far as utilities are concerned, Jim Buquay already discussed real briefly, sewer will be probably artesian. There is a connection point about a mile west on Cave Neck Road that we would tie into. That discharges into a spray irrigation field already operated by artesian water on Route 9. I'm not sure exactly where, but we did confirm with them, and we do have a will serve letter, ability to serve letter, that they have adequate capacity to handle this site. Water is provided by tide water, and there is a water main on our side of the road along the frontage of the property. that is of adequate capacity to tie in. And electric will be provided by Delaware Electric Cooperative. They have two sources of supply connection for the site. And any costs that will be construction costs, so the sewer line that would run down Cave Neck Road to tie in to the existing sewer system maintained by Artesian will be borne by the developer, both design and construction. And a couple points on a proposed site I wanted to discuss just generically. Again, it's still conceptual. That there will be, and this came up in the PLUS review process, there will be expanded buffers provided along Route 1 as acquired by the Coastal Highway Corridor Zone. There will be an agricultural buffer. I think you would...
Mr. Wilson
asked that question. Mm-hmm.
What is the distance of that buffer?
The agricultural buffer?
Yes, sir.
50 feet. And that's required on the north property line only, where
yeah,
we
that's
have
required,
a
right.
preservation land. And that is provided.
Uh-huh.
All grades on site will meet ADA requirements, and the roadway design will also meet DLDOT standards for maximum grades and minimum grades at the approaches to the overpass. The site will also meet fire code requirements as far as access and water pressure and service. And again, this is all requests from the PLUS letter from the State Planning Office. And with that, I'll leave the access issues and transportation issues with our traffic consultant, Wes Guckert.
Nate, well, you said there's only buffers on one side?
Yeah.
There's agricultural use all the way around, isn't there?
The requirement for the ag buffer is for preservation lands only.
Oh, okay.
And that's just the north.
So the other farmland, okay.
You're giving us requirements that already exist. So,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and how we're going to meet them, and that we do, and all we'll right. meet them.
Mm-hmm.
We're not asking for any different.
But I remind you, this isn't site plan. It's site plan. You could require additional buffers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, and you have your next speaker.
Thank you. Good afternoon. For the record, Wes Guckert with the Traffic Group. We're a firm of traffic engineers and transportation planners. To answer the first question that you had, Ms. Deaver, is that I am unaware that DLDOT has any immediate plans for Route 1 and Cave Neck Road at this time. If this immediate plans, correct. Ultimately, they're planning to have an interchange there, but nothing immediate.
What does that mean?
That means that if this project doesn't go forward, there are no immediate plans to build the interchange.
If it doesn't go forward.
Correct.
Well, do you really know that? There'll be no traffic light, there'll be nothing? Do you know that?
No, you asked a question. You asked what we know.
You can't answer it actually because you're not from DLDOT, right? So, I mean, that's what I'm just really kind of, guessing what DLDOT...
Okay.
Would
sure.
you? So in other words, if it's denied, what are we left with?
Well, we'll let DLDOT.
You know what?
Speak.
That's my
sure.
concern.
Sure. And so, as we talked about earlier, US 1 is a major arterial road. We conducted a traffic impact study following DLDOT guidelines over the last several years. The last study was completed in the spring of 2014. At that time, DLDOT required us. To undertake the study, we looked at 18 different intersections. We looked at the time frames they asked us to analyze, which were morning and evening peak hours, as well as midday peak hours, as well as Saturday peak hours. The traffic counts were conducted during the summertime, and we made projections as they requested out to the year 2020. All of the bases for the studies were requested and detailed by DLDOT, and we followed those. Ultimately, DLDOT approved the traffic impact study. DLDOT has indicated that they would want to see the interchange. The interchange analysis that we conducted and that DLDOT independently conducted is shown.
Thank you.
showing now a blow-up of the interchange area. The interchange itself and the roundabouts are projected to operate at level of service B and C. That's based on not only our analysis, but DLDOT's analysis as well. And as you can see, the interchange really operates independent of the retail shopping center. In addition to the $8 million contribution for the interchange that has been agreed to by the applicant, there's about 6 acres of land to be dedicated along the east side of Route 1. It's about 80 feet wide across the frontage of the property as well.
Is that so the farmer can get back to his house?
That's a different issue.
Oh, okay.
And DLDOT is also requiring, and the applicant has agreed to make another off-site improvements at Dairy Farm and Cave Neck. And that's a summary of the impact study work and the findings.
Okay. That's it. That's what? Impressive. I mean, short.
Short. I thought I was requested to do that.
Yes.
When is the $8 million proffered?
It is
in
proffered.
In the agreement, with the agreement you have.
I'm not sure exactly.
Somebody, anybody know when is that $8 million? Jim, if this gets a blessing with a change of zone, does DLDOT get the money then? Does anybody know? What kind? Who negotiated it?
Yeah.
Anybody? Somebody negotiated.
So here comes DLDOT.
Get up here. Yep.
I can.
You are on record now, sir.
Okay. now I'm formal. I'm Lou DiBitanto. I'm managing partner for TD Rehoboth. The proffer made to DLDOT, and when we get to a final agreement with them, which is not done yet, will be that the $8 million will be posted in either form of cash, bond, or other negotiable currency, if you will, at the time of final site plan approval. Because without site plan approval, we can't build the shop.
Well, doesn't DLDOT usually require that the developer pay for a changed or upgraded entrance? I think they do, but is that what's in that $8 million? I would assume, and the balance would be okay. You can just do that if you want to.
No, I'm trying to understand the question.
No, I'm just saying most developments that I see or businesses that I see, DLDOT comes in and says, you will have this kind of entrance and exit, and here's how it will be designed, and you will pay for it. So I'm just saying...
This is above and beyond the entrance.
The entrance
will have to be paid by the developer.
But
this is $8 million that would go toward the cost of the reconfigured intersection and overpass.
Right. And part of it is because that is going to happen. In other words, it's not completely devoid of the fact that that is proposed. Are you saying it's going to be built no matter what?
All I know is this. We're required to have it built if the zoning is approved for this construction of the shopping center to take place.
Okay.
That is a requirement of DLDOT.
All right.
$8 million of that would be paid by the developer.
And that's sure, is it?
And again, this is... What we're doing right now is trying to obtain the zoning approval for that. There's lots of things that have to be done down the road.
Mm-hmm.
One of those will be a final agreement with DLDOT to some of the specifics you're asking, like when is this money paid and how is it paid?
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
just not there yet. But
okay.
The DLDOT letter, the DLDOT TIS response letter states that $8 million is the sum.
Okay. And a follow-up on that $8 million, if the development has been sold, does this negotiating with DLDOT run with the land, or is the negotiation just with the current?
No, I mean,
does anybody know
the agreement? The agreement would be binding on TD Rehoboth, its successors in Assange.
Okay. Right.
Yes, true.
Okay.
To be built eventually, it would need to happen.
Yes, yes, right. And there'd be agreement. I mean, DLDOT.
Okay, I'm just saying because
it's no different than any other traffic agreement we have with DLDOT.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're bonded, guaranteed agreements. We have to post a bond generally, in the way of like a traffic signal.
Mm-hmm.
We have to post the entire cost of that traffic signal in either a bond or cash or some other form. at the time of site plan approval mm-hmm. and for permits.
But, of course, if housing were to happen there instead of this, I imagine DelDOT would come up with a different plan, but I'm not sure what we would have at that point. Mm-hmm.
I'm not a housing developer.
Yeah, I'm just thinking ahead.
Okay, Mr. Fuquay, do you have any more?
I'm sorry. Mr. President, may I? We're not quite done yet.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
If I would say that your subject is probably the most important subject in this matter in many ways.
Okay.
Regarding traffic and infrastructure. I have a feeling that most people in this room are highly concerned regarding that. And I look forward to hearing from DelDOT here at some point in time here tonight. Question that I want to get answered is this, and that is, I know that this intersection is on record from DelDOT being one of the top 100 areas of interest that they have. I believe that I've seen that. Yes? I've seen that. I think...
Here's your topic.
So go ahead, sir.
I figured I'd come back
okay.
up, but I don't want to throw him.
I apologize. So, okay. So I believe that is an accurate statement, what I just said, based on, I think it was one of our recent, as a matter of fact, I think perhaps in the Cape Gazette, I believe I saw that. and I think there is lots of question regarding, and this is the question that I'll have, is their proposed improvement on this intersection, that meaning DelDOT's. And I don't know what it is. We're going to find out at some point in time. Let's say it's a $10 million number. Forget the shopping center. Based on what they have on record right now, what they have agreed to do or what they plan on doing, there's something, okay? And let's say that is a $10 million number as an example. And let's say with this your traffic study that's just was done, that they have agreed to, turns out it ends up being a $20 million total number. As an example, I don't know. The question that I have is the developer proposed, going to promise, going to make happen, going to guarantee to pay the differential?
No. Developer is guaranteeing to pay $8 million towards the cost of the intersection, which we estimate to be somewhere in the $12 to $13 million range, not 20.
Okay.
Order, well, please.
And again,
order. I want to say this one time. We expect you to be courteous. Let everybody talk. If you want to speak, you get your chance to talk after a while. Please do not have any more outbursts. Thank you.
And I don't know what the numbers are. I mean, you are prepared to pay the differential of what perhaps what DelDOT is already planning on doing, I guess is...
No.
No.
No. What we proposed to DelDOT after many meetings with them was we would provide up to $8 million towards the cost of this intersection.
Okay.
The cost of the other intersection improvement that Wes mentioned is over and above the $8 million. And our own access into the shopping center, we pay for as normal. If there is a temporary traffic light for some reason while the site's being developed, we pay for that also.
Mm-hmm.
It's the $8 million is for what would be inside the red line, is what the applicant has agreed to pay, up to $8 million inside the red line.
Is that in our packet, that right there, do we know? Mr. Fuquay?
No, it isn't.
That one is not?
No, but we'll be leaving that board.
Okay.
Okay. I have a question on that based on what you just showed. Is the $8 million for the interchange itself in addition to your improvements for the site access?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I was getting to.
Yes.
Thank you.
For clarification, any other access improvements along Route 1, along the frontage, the right-in, right-out, Axel, D-cell lanes, is in addition to the $8 million.
Okay. So you would be paying for all those improvements as would normally be expected for any developer to get onto their site. So in addition, you're proposing the $8 million for the interchange to help the intersection.
Yes, sir.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much for that.
I have a question for you. Who, the map you had a while ago, sir, you stick up here. The land across the road.
Yes, sir.
Who owns that land?
This land is owned by the same person, the applicant.
Okay.
We're donating that land also.
Thank you.
One more time on that map, because it's not in the packet, so that's why it's relevant.
The map, huh?
It is, because traffic is a big part of the discussion here, I know. So Cave Neck Road is where on that map?
Right here. On the left side.
Okay, so that is Cave Neck Road, and then I see the overpass there along Route 1.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the other corner there you just moved to your left-hand, top left-hand corner of the map, that currently does not exist, that circle.
Correct.
Okay, so that circle is going to be...
It's part of the interchange. In order to allow movement southbound to eastbound, or to allow movements from Cave Neck to southbound Route 1.
Okay.
And the arrows hopefully are demonstrative.
Mm-hmm. Understand. But that does impact that current, who currently owns that parcel?
This parcel?
Nope, the one above.
This parcel is owned by... the adjoining property. I do not know.
I believe it's Hudson.
But it will. It certainly will affect them.
There's the right of way line is here. I'm pointing to the right of way line that does not include. We'll call the bump out the top of the Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm.
That is currently not owned by the existing property owner.
So that is. Can we say then? Correct me if I'm wrong, is that the only piece of property that the applicant does not own that will be directly impacted in that corner down there?
Small corner down on the
So road. How do you plan on acquiring those two pieces of property?
Well, it will be discussed with DelDOT. DelDOT often does not own right-of-way for their interchanges, and they go and they make those acquisitions.
I mean, this directly affects those two landowners because currently... obviously, the goal would be to somehow purchase that land from them, I presume, and do this improvement.
That's correct.
Okay, so this project would absolutely directly impact those two landowners.
This interchange, regardless of whether this shopping center is here or not.
But okay, so therefore that gets my other question. So that interchange then is exactly what DelDOT would
not necessarily, but I'm saying an interchange.
Right.
It would be difficult. It would be, let's say that if we weren't here, none of this would be on DelDOT's property. It's right. All property that would have to be acquired.
Sure.
If the property owner was not dedicating everything you see in green.
Okay. And are those two landowners, has anybody reached out to them to provide, are they here tonight?
Not yet.
I wonder? Uh-huh. Not yet.
The answer is, have they been reached out to? I think the answer is not yet.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay, very good. Well, I've heard from one of them. That's why I ask. So because that they have a concern, of course.
Of course.
That I'm just posing the question of how one plans on acquiring
that. And understand that this is not a final plan.
Right. No, I understand.
Right. And things may shift by the time you get into design details and look at things to address 14 million versus 12 million versus 20 million.
Right.
And you go through and you engineer a plan to reduce the cost, to reduce the offsite impacts. This is just the concept for now.
Okay, yeah. Very good. Thank you, sir.
I have a question on that, too. I understand that's not in gold. That's not going to be in stone. We don't know exactly how it's going to be designed. But my concern is the communities. How close must an interchange be to, say, for instance, Painter's Mill community? Do we have any idea on that?
How close
must this road
or
the interchange? Well, we don't have it. We don't know the plannings. We know it might just be close to that. I don't know. How do I find out?
Well, Painter's Mill is right here.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right.
Okay, and so that makes what? When
Painter's Mill was approved, as I stated earlier, they were required to maintain an open area for right of way for DelDOT for this overpass on their property.
Uh huh. Okay.
And that's in the DelDOT request back in 2001.
Okay, this is the first time I had heard that. Okay, and they were all the residents were made aware of that.
I don't know if they were or not. I'm just telling you that's what DelDOT requires.
Okay.
And that information is in the exhibit package.
Well, I'm sure it is, you know, and I have to study it when I go home. I'll study it very hard. But that is that's a big concern for me.
Mr. Fuqua, I understand you were doing some follow-ups now.
Yes, and I'll try to be quick as possible. I got a little more, and I know this has taken a long time, but I think the council recognizes that it's a very significant application, and it's going to take a little time. Mr. Arlett, just to go back to a point you raised, I did have a call from a property owner in that area's attorney. And again, it's hard to talk about these things because, like I said, we're not talking about site plan and we're not talking about final design.
Sure.
All we have is conceptual things. One of the concepts actually had the interchange on the Hudson property. Okay, mm-hmm. That was concept mm-hmm. E or something. Okay, concept F is the concept we're proposing. That's the one you just saw. And that's the one that's on Mr. Chapel's property mm-hmm. on the south side of Cave Neck Road. And it does have that kick-out turn would be on the Hudson property. But again, the details aren't worked out yet. But certainly the intention is to be, logically, to be on the property we actually can acquire. Sure. You know, it just makes more sense. Mm-hmm. Again, like I said, I recognize we're taking a lot of time. I thank everybody, including the people in the audience, for their patience. Again, I think everybody understands that we need to make a record of these, and that's the process that we're doing right now.
Well, didn't we rezone a couple of those road frontage properties to commercial? I believe we did.
Well, I mean, the zoning map shows that several of them
already have commercial zoning on there.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, as you know, the county council procedures, the applicant doesn't have a chance to speak again after the opposition speaks, okay? Obviously, we're not going to be given that permission tonight either. However, since we've read many of the letters the opposition sent in, and we heard a lot of this testimony at the planning and zoning meeting, I do want to comment on some of the arguments you're going to be hearing, and would just ask you to consider the points I'm raising in our response when you hear those arguments. As I just stated, the issue today is not the site plan. The site plan really has nothing to do with this. The issue is the question of whether or not this is appropriate. So, again, please keep that in mind as far as the arguments raised in opposition. There was an argument raised that we do not have the right to have this property rezoned. And I would say, of course, we don't have the right to have the property rezoned. If we had the right, I would have sent a letter to Mr. Lank saying, rezone this property. As simple as that. However, what we do have is a right to have the county council make a decision on our application in a rational, non-arbitrary manner based on the legislative standards, namely the overall framework for land use that you, the county council, established in the zoning code in a comprehensive plan. The opposition has alleged that our proposed use is in conflict with the purpose clause of section 115.83.1. Both the CR1 purpose section and the now closed C1 purpose section, the C1 zoning district was closed and the CR1 replaced it. It basically says the same thing, except it reduced the density from 12 units to the acre to 4 units to the acre. So they're almost interchangeable. But both of those sections state in their purpose clause is that the purpose is to provide a wide variety of commercial and service activities that are not characterized by extensive warehousing or by frequent heavy trucking activity. The section does not prohibit warehousing or heavy trucking activity, only extensive warehousing and frequent heavy trucking activity. Extensive warehousing and frequent heavy trucking activity would be uses such as a wholesale merchandising or storage warehouse, a large distribution center such as Walmart has, a truck terminal, or a freight transfer terminal. They're uses that would have to be in a LI1 light industrial limited industrial or an LI2 light industrial district. In fact, in the CR1 zoning district, warehousing is a specific permitted use. You can have warehouses in the zoning district. It's only extensive warehousing and extensive frequent trucking that's prohibited. And I think, as you know, that every shopping center, every outlet center, every grocery store, and on Route 1 and throughout Sussex County
as normal periodic truck activity for the delivery of merchandise. They couldn't operate if they didn't. That's just part of business. Our proposed use will not result in warehousing any more extensive or heavy trucking any more frequent than any other business in a C1 or CR1 zoning district in Sussex County. And if you logically take their argument to its conclusion, if you could not have a large-scale commercial use in a CR1 district, since they're not permitted in industrial districts, in effect what you would end up with is the zoning code would permit you to have a large-scale commercial use, but no zoning district would permit it to be located in it. That's absurd. So that argument just doesn't carry water. The opponents expressed concern that the rezoning, if it's approved, it could be used for any other use permitted in the CR1 zone. And that's true. It's a common argument raised in most rezoning applications, but the unusual thing here is that normally the concern is that an applicant is kind of softballing it. The applicant comes in and is proposing to do a use like a self-storage facility, and the concern is, well, wait a minute. If you got that zoning, you could put in a fast food restaurant or a bar or something. Mm-hmm. So normally it's that way. But, you know, we're not softballing this. We came in from the beginning. We've been totally transparent on this. We said from the beginning we're proposing a large-scale commercial shopping center. We are the intense use that somebody would be looking at. That's what we're proposing. We recognize that. There's no bait and switch that we're not going to build this and we're going to build a used car lot instead. What you see is what you get. The opposition alleges negative environmental impacts will be caused by the development, and particularly greater volumes of stormwater runoff eventually entering the Great Marsh, which obviously is a legitimate concern. But the fact is that the development of this site is required by law and will comply with the new 2014 DENREC stormwater management regulations. And I know you are familiar with those regulations. I attended the day the presentation was made to you on May 5th by Randy Greer. He's with DENREC Sediment and Stormwater Program, Division of Water Stewardship. Mr. Greer told you in response to your questions that the new regulations have one specific goal. He stated, and I quote, "Under the new regulations, what we're really looking at is trying to get that runoff from impervious surfaces back into the ground where Mother Nature intended it to be and to prevent it from discharging from the site." And he further stated that the goal and intent of the new regulations is very specific: no adverse impact. They're the regulations we have to comply with. Our stormwater management plan has to, by law, be designed to have no adverse impact. And when you consider that the site is currently 114-acre farm that discharges a certain amount of unregulated stormwater with normal portions of agriculture-related chemicals that are inherent in the farming operation into the Great Marsh system, with our design, our site development will not only have no adverse impact, it actually will be an improvement over the current conditions of the site. And speaking of farmland, the opponents urge denial of our application in the interest of preserving farmland. Well, it's easy to preserve somebody else's farmland, okay? But it's really the owner of that farm that is the one that makes that decision. I already alluded to this. I won't repeat it. I said there's growth areas. There's rural areas. The idea is you concentrate development in a growth area where we are. You preserve all those areas in the rural area. And that's the whole idea of concentrated development versus sprawl. And as I said, Mr. Chappell's property is in the growth area. He chose to sell it for development. They are decisions that the farm owner should make and can make. And for the county to force a farm preservation on a farmer is just contrary to his legal rights. And in fact, in the comp plan, it specifically discussed this on page 2-8 of the plan. That's Exhibit N. And what it says there is that when the public meetings were held on the current plan back in 2007 and 2008, it says that a large contingent of the participants expressly rejected the notion of regulations or policies that would further constrain private property rights, particularly with regard to the future development potential of farmland. And there is no such restriction or restraint on the development of farmland other than the general provisions of the zoning ordinance and the comprehensive plan. Mr. Chappell's family has owned this land for 65 years, long before any of the, or at least certainly most of the current developments and businesses were created. He has the right to sell it for development in conformity with the county ordinances. The opponents also went to a large degree at the planning and zoning hearing to criticize the business plan, claiming that the applicant was proposing a 50-style shopping center and that there was no demand for additional shopping sites, and that the population of Sussex County would not be sufficient to support a shopping center, nor would the population meet the requirements of large national retailers to locate here. In reply, I would ask you to consider this. Shopping centers right now are going back to the future. The applicant is proposing a so-called 50-style shopping center, but with 2015 architectural and landscaping features and designs. It will not be a mall. It's malls that are declining due to the increased expenses they have of maintaining all the interior common areas. That's where they're getting too expensive, and that's why they're failing. But again, the issue before the council is whether the land is appropriate for CR1 zoning, not whether the applicant has a good business plan. And I stress that because in a free market economy, business decisions are not made by government. They are made by people and companies responding to the free market forces of supply and demand. And I think everyone's aware that there's many national retail stores that have no locations in Sussex County, and many people here have to travel to Salisbury or Wilmington or even further to go shopping. At the present time, between our application and the application of LT Associates, there are two pending applications in Sussex County. They're both in the general, the same general area. They're both requesting large-scale CR1 zoning for shopping centers. Both of those developer investors are willing to spend tens of millions of dollars to accomplish their business plan. Now, I would submit to you that that is the free market economy talking, and it's clearly saying there is a need and there is a demand. The opponents also stated that the population of Sussex County is about 210,000 people. We don't dispute that. In fact, I would submit to you that in January and February, it's a little bit less than that. The opponents argue that a population of 210,000 people is not enough to support an initial shopping center, and it won't attract the national stores. However, there's additional significant demographic data that the opponents fail to mention. That data I'll be referring to is in Exhibit O of the exhibit book that I sent to you, or that I submitted to you. First, population of Sussex County is expanding rapidly. Back in 2008, when this current land use plan was done, the population was 180,000 people. So since this current comp plan was adopted, the population of Sussex County has increased by over 30,000 people. And in fact, many of the people in the audience tonight are part of that 30,000 people. Second, as the comp plan states on page 2.2, it says U.S. Census population statistics do not provide a full picture of the county's growth because the Census Bureau does not count seasonal residents. This is particularly important in Sussex County, which had 24,906 seasonal housing units in 2000, according to the census. At an average of 2.5 persons per household, these seasonal homes would be accommodating over 62,000 additional people. So in 2000, there were 62,000 additional people. If you look at Exhibit P, this is a publication of the state of Delaware titled The Value of Tourism 2013. Page E of that exhibit indicates that in 2013, Kent County had 486 seasonal second homes, Newcastle County had 721 seasonal second homes, and Sussex County had 36,550 seasonal second homes. Again, using that updated number at 2.5 people per home, which was the comp plan calculation, that would be an updated figure of 91,375 part-time residents, or a total of 301,300 full and part-time residents. And obviously, Sussex County is a unique county in Delaware. As you know, many people from Wilmington have second homes in the beach area. No one from down here has a second home in Wilmington, I'm sure. We also have a lot of non-home owners who come to Sussex County every summer, and actually it's larger now in the spring and the fall and even in the winter. We depending on their behavior, we refer to them as guests or visitors or tourists or morons, depending on how they act. Why do they come here? Page C of that exhibit I referred to is the state publication. It says there's the three most popular activities attracting visitors is the beach, dining, and shopping. That's why people come here. Shopping is a significant factor why people come here. And as I discussed earlier, certainly the no sales tax is a big factor. How many people come to Sussex County? Exhibit Q is a publication actually of the Sussex County Council. It's dated December 2012. The second page of that document states that 3.2 million visitors come to Sussex County annually. That's 3.2 million people coming to Sussex County to beach, to eat, and to shop. So when the opponents claim that the Sussex County population won't support the proposed shopping center, please remember the 91,000 part-time residents and the 3.2 million visitors who will also be shopping in Sussex County. And finally, at the planning and zoning hearing, in some of the letters submitted, some of the opponents to our application, to a certain degree, ridiculed the jobs being created by the shopping center as being low-paying jobs. The point they want you to ignore is that these are 1,500 new jobs that do not exist today. And depending on your point of view, these jobs may be lower-paying jobs or they may be moderate-paying jobs. But Sussex County is not Silicon Valley. It's not a major financial or banking center, and it's not a manufacturing area. Our economy is to a very large degree built on agriculture and tourism. And I believe these 1,500 so-called low-paying jobs will be quite appealing to some unemployed Sussex County resident or someone seeking a second job or a retired person finding the need for additional income or just wanting to work for social contact or to a young person entering the job market for the first time. Residents all over the county will be filling these year-round jobs and will be pleased to be receiving a paycheck, and those salaries will have a significant secondary impact on the Sussex County economy. So please remember those points when you hear the opponents' arguments in opposition. In conclusion, I submit for your consideration proposed findings of fact. These are the same findings of fact that I submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission. I'll hand those to Mr. Lang. Basically, our findings of fact basically says that based on the evidence and the testimony in the record, setting forth the reasons, our application is in accordance with the county comprehensive plan, it's in accordance with the county zoning ordinance, and it's in accordance with the general welfare provisions of 9 Delaware Code Section 6904, which is the purpose of zoning regulations. So again, the question before you, is this parcel of land appropriate for CR1 zoning? We certainly submit the answer is a most definite yes. We thank you for your time and your patience and your attention. If you have any further questions, we'll certainly be trying to address them. We do realize you do not have the Planning and Zoning Commission's recommendation yet, so there certainly will not be a decision made tonight.
Your customer base, who would that be? Is it you emphasize tourism? Is it primarily you're going to... The appeal will be to tourism or to the local population or to or who primarily
all,
do you think
it'll be
primarily who do you think it'll be?
It'll be all three, certainly.
Well, it'll be all three, but I mean, who do you think would be the, because I know there's a lot of traffic goes by there, but I'm familiar with the traffic, and most of it they're going to a destination, which is Rehoboth or the beaches.
Well, a lot of the traffic that will be there will be traffic that is already here. I mean, it's not an additional people coming here just to go shopping. There are people that are here at the beach and here at the restaurants. And
during the season, it's the people that are on their way to their rental property, wherever it may be, right? Okay.
Visitors.
So you're expecting to get some of those people to stop and shop?
I would expect, much like the outlet malls, even in the off season, it's seldom I see those parking lots empty.
Right, but they're close. Okay, but my point basically is, you got the population densities at the beach, and that's the destination, which is the beach. Your expectation is you'll have people coming by with cars full, arrive at the beach, get relocated, then they're going to hop in their car and drive 10 miles back to go shopping possibly. Is that, you see that? I mean, do you have any market analysis showing that that probably will occur? Or
well, the
there's not enough people in Milton to support this site.
Is a mile and a half north of Nassau, so it's within 2 or 3 or 4 miles of all of the shopping that's on Route 1, so it's not significantly different.
Well, it's difficult. It would be difficult to get there, though, with the current traffic conditions that we're.
Well, look, there's certain realities. On a Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock, yeah, I don't think anyone would be driving up Route 1 to go shopping. Nor on a Saturday morning at 11 o'clock is someone going to be driving south on Route 1 to go down to the outlet malls. I mean, those of us who live here, you know, you like as in any place, there are certain things you adjust to.
Okay, and but need for additional commercial zoning. Is there any you know, I think sometimes the people look to when we rezone property, is there a need? Do we need more commercial CR1 zoning in this area? And I think you cited that you looked around and the only sites you could find that were available for what you wanted to do was only a few parcels. Is that?
Yeah, well, again, within the restrictions of the county zoning ordinance for large-scale uses, and as I said, it's Route 9 on either side of Route 1 and Route 1 south of this site, mm-hmm. there really isn't anything, mm-hmm. period. I mean, it's those three large farms up there on Route 1 that are only the identifiable sites. You know, as far as need or demand, you know, need, I think, is personal. People decide whether they need more shopping or not. The demand, we certainly feel, and as I said, with two large developers willing to invest tens of millions of dollars, somebody perceives there's a demand there.
Okay, with that demand, did they do any market analysis saying that there's going to be enough people to support it? Because I know in Milton, like I said, if you just look at the small town of Milton, or possibly, like I said, is somebody going to ride 10 miles through that congested traffic to go there? I mean, did they look at any analysis?
Well, again, I'll just rely on the figures I told you. We have 210,000 year-round people. We have 91,000 additional part-time people, and we have 3.2 million visitors. That's a lot of people.
I know, but we had a grocery store in the Bethany area that closed down in the midst of all this, you know, all these people, and they didn't see it, and they couldn't support it, and they couldn't justify it. So I'm just saying, do you have anything that justifies
this
location?
Cole, they were trying to compete with hawkers, Mr. Cole.
it's their line.
You can't
challenge,
do that.
Huh?
It is a challenge,
Mr. Yeah. President. I have
Beaver.
I have a question. I know it's running over same road over and over. We often have somebody here from DelDOT when we have major applications like this one. I'm just wondering, do we have anybody here from DelDOT?
Yes,
and
we
could
do.
I get an idea?
Right,
yes. I mean, could I get their best idea of what is planned for that intersection should this not be approved? I want to know what are we left with. You know.
Why don't we ask them to come forward?
Yes, please do.
And address your issues.
Yes.
Okay. Good afternoon, gentlemen. We're gonna do it now.